In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observe his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas season, that it was just full enough of cookies and bickering and feelings of slothfulness that it felt traditional. I know ours was. And of course there was the fairy fiasco, right, on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. So for those of you welcoming or dispersing guests on those days, wow, that was, trying to get my 90-year-old father onto a ferry on that day was a challenge, I'll tell you. Well, I looked at Marv, not his real name, to protect privacy, in case some of you start digging into the archives. I looked at Marv in real surprise. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. To fill in, I was hearing this at an early morning prayer meeting. Anybody here remember those? We're now too hip to do those kinds of things. But Marv had come to us at Christ Church Saskatoon as a student placement from Emmanuel St. Chad Seminary, which is also in Saskatoon. He was coming into ministry as a second career after a captaincy in the Royal Canadian Air Force, where he worked as an engineer. One of his projects had been to design better ejection seats for the CF-18 fleet. And I saw videos of them testing those things on the runway at the base in northern Alberta. Quite the scene. Well, back to Marv's words. I woke up at around 3 a.m. and I had a vision of an angel entering Bob's room via the window and then leaving through that same window, but now Bob's soul was with him. I think my jaw must have hit the ground. There was some sort of loud clanging noise in the room, because not only was I hearing this from this extremely left-brained dude, but what he didn't know was that just before the beginning of the prayer meeting, I'd received a private email telling me that approximately 4 hours previously, at 3 a.m., Bob, an elderly and beloved parishioner, had passed away in his care home room. As I relayed this information to Marv, to the wardens, and a few others at the prayer meeting, a holy silence enveloped us. And in the years that have passed since that happened, I've wondered what such a moment was trying to tell us. Later, I would read the story of the shepherd boy sitting in a cave, looking out at the night sky in the year 651 in Northumbria, northeastern England, and seeing a stream of heavenly beings carrying a very bright soul of someone into heaven. That someone, he later discovers, is that of the great Bishop Aidan. That journey leads this shepherd boy named Cuthbert to begin the journey towards the priesthood. And eventually he will become Saint Cuthbert, a great pastoral missionary and saint whose shrine is in the magnificent Durham Cathedral. A place I'm sure some of you have visited, and a place I find, despite my theology, which tells me, and I can't say I'm really unwavering in this, insists actually that God is everywhere, and equally important, that God is everywhere the same. And yet, despite that theology, I find Durham Cathedral, and particularly the shrine of Cuthbert, to be one of the holiest places on earth. Interestingly, stories like these, including the stories so popular at this time of the year, the stories of the shepherd seeing the skies come alive with beings of light, and of course the story just read by Reverend Rebecca, the story of the Magi, the astrologers who see a star which they interpret as the birth of a great king of the Jews. These sorts of stories can leave us, initially at least, feeling like outsiders looking in. At least since the 19th century, Western cultures have valued inner subjectivity above almost anything else. It's at the root of our individualism. Our sense of self-identity is tied far more to our own feelings and experiences than those of our collective wider community and the things that happen within it. The upshot of this is that people can feel alienated by the stories of the mystical experiences of others, either because they just simply don't fit into a quote-unquote modern worldview, our own categories of how we think the world should work. And so implicit in that judgment is that these people are delusional. Or because they may seem, even if we accept that these kinds of things happen, they may seem to point to some lack in us. Why has that never happened to me? Some failure of awareness, or maybe of depth of commitment. But these stories, whether ancient or modern, are not a judgment, but an invitation, a reminder that we are connected by Christ to a vaster whole. A whole that includes a lot that is mysterious to me, however historically or philosophically attuned I may fancy myself as an individual. I'm reminded that I am not the measure of what reality is. My own interpretation, again, given what I've just said, is very limited. But that these sorts of interesting slash bizarre events happen as the spur to an epiphany. The epiphany isn't the vision itself, not the external wonder, but the change of direction in us that follows on from the original event. A change of direction that has knock-on effects beyond the person that it happens to, towards the wider community, which ultimately serves to further connect us to God's reign and purpose. Whether in Marv or Cuthbert's vision, or in the Magi's astrological observations, there is a looking, a noticing, the noticing of light against the background of dark. And I think it's important to recognize the metaphor here. The beginning of change, of true change, usually occurs against the backdrop of difficulty, against the background of political shenanigans, as in the story we heard today. And I'm sure there will be a lot of political shenanigans in the year 2025. Against the backdrop of suffering and the deep knowing, that deep inner drive that we have, that things just can't keep going the way they've been going. It's against that background that the tiniest pinprick of light, the smallest flame, becomes visible and powerful and illuminating. And so the Magi, once they see the star, aren't merely dazzled by the wonder of it, but spurred towards, and this is really the true meaning of epiphany, insight. Insight. The invitation to go on a journey fraught with political landmines in order to take of their wealth and share it with a family and a child who will shortly, because of the political danger they face, be refugees on the run. The great epiphany isn't just that Christ is recognized and worshipped as a king by those not of Jewish ethnicity, but that God inspires these pagan religious practitioners to bring their treasures to a new baby born into relative poverty. And these foreigners provide, then, the scholarship fund, if you will, necessary that Mary and Joseph will be able to survive the flight into Egypt, but that later they will also be able to afford the tutoring and religious education necessary for Jesus to learn the scriptures, so that eventually, and get the wonder of this, he will come to see through his learning that he is their fulfillment. It's actually possible to say that without the Magi's cooperation, Jesus would become the equivalent of the stolen Dalai Lama, the stolen Messiah. Indeed, the threat of this happening is so clearly apparent in the story if you keep reading. Many children die. But thanks be to God, that didn't happen. In a world that highlights human failing, and the Bible, of course, is no stranger to reminding us of human failing, we start this year by reading a story that reminds us of the possibility of genuine insight from God is possible to all people, not just those in the church, not those just part of the Judeo-Christian tradition. Not just possible, actually, but a reality that will continue to unfold. So just to bring this into the present, in a real situation that's been happening in and through my work. In the past few weeks, I've had the privilege of conversing with a number of people, not in this parish, but still pastoral work, who've recognized certain patterns in their life that are injurious to others. And this has come to them as a great disturbance. But equally as the dawn of a recognition that has been life-bringing. Remember John's famous prologue, which says, "Christ's light, the true light that enlightens everyone, is coming into the world." And they're experiencing this. They're experiencing a giving of insight. And it's come through an external light, in quotes, their experience of alienation from family and friends through their behaviors. And they have determined that they are going to change their path. They're going to embrace a more loving, less manipulative way of living. It's been so encouraging. Such an epiphany. So my prayer for our parish in 2025 is that we recognize anew with the force of insight that we are connected. That though we may not see beings of light transporting souls or magical stars, and even if much of our journey seems fraught with disturbance and the call to change, in Christ, and this is the amazing thing, we are those beings of light. As I said to the children, Christ shines through us, capable of divine insight and divine sharing, capable as a community of a connection that makes a difference to those in need. That's what Christ will look like for us in 2025. May it be so in this community, this wonderful community, and in each of us. Amen.